Good morning. This is Chaim Goodman-Strauss. I'm in Leeuwarden, Holland, and with me is Dirk Holabro.
Hello.
Who's written a book. You've done a number of things, but you've just written a book.
The title of the book is Africa Plus Mathematics.
Africa Plus Mathematics.
It's in Dutch and in French.
So our listeners will have to, read it in Dutch or French. But it's a really fantastic book, and I wanted, maybe we could discuss it. So one of the things that the book starts off with is various kinds of counting systems and arithmetic systems throughout Africa, ways
yes.
of doing multiplication and...
Africans did mathematics mm-hmm. before colonization. You could say, well, why are we surprised about it? But, well, that seems to be a fact.
A lot of these arithmetic systems are still used today, right?
For multiplying numbers. For instance, there are tailors in Senegal who mm-hmm. still do their multiplications using only doubling and halving.
Africa is the most genetically diverse continent. Even though it's not necessarily recognized just
mm-hmm. yes.
from a Western point of view. But and similarly, we would expect it to be the most culturally diverse.
But it is the case.
Exactly,
for instance, the
right.
way
so
in which they count, I do this in a theater show, mm-hmm. I show different ways of counting. I showed you one, you explained it to your listeners, counting to 12, but there are other ways. Three in Rwanda, for instance, is this, mm-hmm. but it's difficult to show to the listeners. Although four, I can... Let the listeners hear what four is. Four goes like this. So you have to click with your fingers.
You're clicking with your two forefingers.
Two forefingers. No, with one forefinger on the middle finger like that.
No,
like this
practice.
You have to click. So there are pictures of missionaries who in the year 1900 took pictures of people counting with their hands. Mm-hmm. I imagine the scene in the middle mm-hmm. of Africa. You see the missionary with his photographical machine in the time, and there were the people counting one
right.
in different ways. So there was a great, enormous creativity in counting as well.
We were showing pictures of things like knotwork and mm-hmm. Wooden slats with various kinds of
oh yes,
arithmetic
I
devices.
Actually I mostly show those things that are in relation with the Ashango bone. I could also have shown sand drawings or
right.
other features.
So we were warming up to the Ashango bone. That's
yes.
of course your
yes.
main interest in the
yes.
book. So tell us.
So for instance, the 12 is a warm up for the Ashango bone. Why?
Uh-huh.
Because on the Ashango bone, you can see three columns and two columns sum up to 60.
So wait, so this is a very small bone.
10 centimeters and 2 millimeters.
So very tiny thing. That's 4 inches, 4.5 inches and
2 millimeters? And 2 millimeters. So it's 10 centimeters,
wow.
let's say.
And so...
like a pencil, small pencil.
And then it has notches, of
notches
some very
on
fine
it. Yes.
set of notches.
Very fine, by the way. They cannot be made, have been made by a coincidence, by a line
right.
that used to, or
no,
whatever, no.
no.
They are done on purpose. They're even very sharp.
And where was it found?
On the border of Congo and Uganda, very close to Rwanda, actually.
Yeah, so you showed some pictures of that. It's so spectacular. I
yes.
had no idea.
Even the Romans and the Greek called that region the Mountains of the Moon, Lunae
wow.
Montes. And they knew there that there was something special there.
Is that the Great Rift Valley, or that's something
yes,
different?
Yes, but the Great Lakes, as they say. Yeah?
Lake Victoria
yeah. and so on, it's that region.
Yeah, and how old is the bone itself?
22,000 years old. That's now well settled. Actually, in the beginning, that was a question because it was found in a volcanic region and so on.
Uh-huh.
But right now, this matter has been settled, actually by an American, Alison Brooks, Washington. And now everyone agrees it's at least 22,000 years old, maybe
older.
So, okay,
now tell us about the bone. What?
Well, so there are three columns on them,
uh-huh.
on the bone. So one that adds up to 60, another one that adds up to 60, and another one that adds up to 48. Now, 48 is 4 times 12, 60 is 5 times 12, so there you see the 12.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Actually, this is, a lot of what we do on this radio thing is puzzles, and I think this is a super puzzle.
Well,
so just hang on. What are the down the columns? So there's three columns, basically.
Yeah, three columns. One with 11, 13, 17, and 19 notches.
11, 13, 17, and 19.
Yeah, you
four
can ask.
Four successive prime numbers.
Well, I would leave it as a question for your readers. It could be something else.
It could easily be something
else. It could be
yeah.
12 minus 1, 12 plus 1.
Oh, that's
18
true.
Minus
yeah.
1, 18 plus 1. And this is not so surprising because some people in Africa, as we just said, there's an enormous creativity in counting. Some people do not say 13. 13 actually is 3 and 10, but they say 1 and 12. They do not say 14,
right.
they say 2 and 12.
Right.
And some people even say 2, 6 and 2 instead of 14, 2, 6, and 2,
mm-hmm.
because their number base is 6. You have the number base 6 in Africa, you have the number base 2, you have the number base 10, 20 very
yeah.
often, even 32.
Yeah,
yeah,
and in your book, you have some maps that show I guess still today that the, you know, where certain number bases are.
Well, yes,
dominant.
But today mostly after colonization they forgot the origin of their number.
Maybe
words.
Even in like village of remote villages when their market yes. day they must count out things.
Well, they still do that, but it's yeah. a bit like in French when they say 80,
right?
And nobody knows that it's 4 times 20,
sure,
80, right. But it's still in the language,
right? So what's the middle column then?
Okay, so that first column, it may be prime numbers or it may be a different way of counting. Right. And then there's another column with 9, 11, and 19 and 21 notches.
9, 11, 19, yeah. and 21.
So is that 10 minus 1, 10 yeah. plus 1, 20 minus 1, 20 plus 1? The discoverer of the bone, he thought that it was someone who explained, who gave a math class mm-hmm. 22,000 years ago to explain what 10 and
it
20
well
are.
It may be true.
So actually, it doesn't matter that much what yeah. the right hypothesis is. After every radio or TV or whatever yeah. interview, I always have listeners who come up with a new hypothesis.
Right, I'm sure that's going to happen here. I'm egging people on. But as you're
but
right.
there's a third column. Wait, oh, wait. Yeah, because the third yeah. column is maybe the most spectacular one. There are three notches, and then six, four, and then eight, five, and then 10. So I asked wow. you a very difficult question, Kyle.
Three, six, five, four, 10. Oh, yeah. Three, six,
three,
four, eight.
8, 5, 10. What's that? What you see in there? 3, 6, 4, 8, doubling,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
And there are people in Ethiopia who do, and in Senegal, as we just said, yeah. who make their do their multiplications only by doubling and halving.
Right.
So was this someone who was doing the Ethiopian right. multiplication method? Could have been. But there, so there the complete column is 3, 6, 4, 8, right. 10, 5, and 5, 7.
I mean, even
and
if...
5, 7, so the sum is 48.
Yeah. I mean, even if we never... We can never penetrate what they were thinking.
Of course not.
But what is totally obvious is that people were totally engaged with their arithmetic. You
yes.
can't deny it.
Especially since after his on his dying bed, the discoverer of the bone, because you have to know that that bone stayed on the 19th floor of the museum for 50 years. Mm-hmm. Actually, the story is I wrote papers for the Mathematical Intelligence about the number pi in Paris, about... the tombstone of von Keulen, pi here.
That's right.
In
Let me just
Holland.
Interject. You're the editor of the. You're the columnist, the mathematical tourist
yes.
for the Mathematical Intelligence. Or
so I did
right.
tourism there, wherever in right. France and so on. But I have. I thought for. I was a teacher in Africa for 12 years, and the editor in chief, Chandler Davis, he wrote an email. He said, "Well, couldn't you write something about Africa?" And that was in '96 when I just returned from Burundi after the genocide
yeah.
in that region. I said, no, about Africa. I don't know. I have been there. I've never seen anything interesting for our column. So Chandler Davis said, well, take a look. There's that book and this book. And then I saw in the book of Joseph, G.G. Joseph, which is called The Crest of the Peacock, mm-hmm. a very interesting book, by the way. I saw that his book opens with the Ashango bone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it opens, interesting. And it was in Brussels. I said, okay, I'm from Brussels.
Oh, yeah.
So
right.
I live here, and I didn't know that.
Right.
And I had been teaching in Africa for 12 years, and I didn't know that where I lived at 200 meters from my house.
200
was
meters?
Well, two kilometers from where I lived was the Ashango bone. So I went to the museum. I didn't believe it, actually. I went there. I had a meeting with the archaeologist because it wasn't shown to the public. And I looked at it. I said, looks true. Wait a second. I'll go and buy a camera. Because I didn't even bring my camera. I didn't believe the story, actually. So I bought a camera that you can throw away, mm-hmm. took a few pictures, and it appeared in the Intelligencer.
Yeah.
So I said, now let's wait for the nasty reactions. Let's wait for what people will say. And there were no nasty reactions. On the contrary, I had written that it was 11,000 right. years old, and someone from the University of Waterloo, Professor Chalit, said, we are now sure that it's 22,000 years old.
Right.
So I didn't even exaggerate, it was even...
Well, let me ask you this. It's a rare object in the sense that we don't have very... We have some examples, but do you think that this is a rare object in the sense of...
It's a rare object...
being created,
For several reasons, because the counting objects that we found mm-hmm. In many museums, but not that many, but for instance, they counted on ropes, on bones, on sticks, mm-hmm. the Africans, but of course, ropes, bones, and sticks are
decay,
perishable.
Yeah.
And this Ashango bone was found, although it was 22,000 years old, because it was found in a volcanic region, like mm-hmm. an African Pompeii.
Right.
And that's why it was kept, actually.
So, but you would expect that, like, 22,000 years ago, I mean, people are people. That's something we seem to forget, is that people have been just as intelligent and engaged and...
Good to say that. Yes, nice to hear
everywhere
that.
Everywhere, throughout yes, all time.
But some people do not think
and
that, do not believe
it.
That.
So it seems to me, I mean, I would just guess that this would have been part of a very rich tradition that perhaps has been continuously transmitted in subtle
well, yes.
ways
to today. What makes it even more interesting that on his dying bed, the discoverer of that bone, mm-hmm. who had hidden it, if I may say so, or not talk too much about it for that all that time, for 50 years, he admitted he had another, he had found another bone. And last year, we made a little conference, and Reza Serhangi was there, by the way, about just to reveal that second Aishango bone. Uh-huh. Actually, I invited...
Just to reveal it. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Because otherwise, I was just waiting for 10 years. I said, well, now is the time. You have to reveal it. You have to put it in the exposition. Where is it? Please, can we see it? Because it would confirm or not confirm our hypothesis. Would it be... Would we find some prime numbers on there?
Yeah.
Would we see other features of a calendar? Or a game or whatever? Or would there be nothing on it?
Well...
So finally, it turned out that there's also a mixed base, 20 and 6. So I think the hypothesis that it was that were people who counted not in base 6, not in base 10, like we do, but in base 6, that is the right hypothesis. Mm-hmm. For instance, when we count votes, we say 1, 2, 3, 4, slash 5.
Yeah, right.
1, 2, 3, 4, slash 5. So because we count in fives, we group them by fives.
Right.
Or for instance, in a casino, I've never been in a casino, but anyway, they count chips by 2 very often. They say 2, 4, 6.
Yeah.
So when we count, we often mix base 2 and base 10.
Right.
So they mixed base 10 and base 6 while they were pronouncing or studying or whatever. With their numbers. Maybe they were counting phases of the moon. Why
but
not?
In some sense, we'll never know, but we can tell they were thinking, they were doing something.
Yes,
that's
they
obvious.
Were doing
right.
math, let's
right.
say.
Right.
Yes. So, and what is even more interesting, that it was found at the sources of the Nile. So really the very beginning of the Nile, well, the most southern sources, the Victoria Lake, there are other sources of the Nile, but the source in the middle of Africa, there it was found. So we could even...
That's poetic.
And what makes it even still more interesting, that they found other bones more downstream of the Nile that were not 22,000 years old, but 15,000 and 10,000 until they arrived at the pharaohs. So you can even reconstruct with archaeological proofs the way of the Nile, as they
that's
say.
That's amazing.
So...
Well, it makes sense. It would be kind of a cradle spot. It's so lush and beautiful, and
this
it
does
looks
not
like an Eden,
this
you know?
Does not diminish the contribution of the Egyptians, nor of the Greek,
of
and so on.
Not, yeah.
Other people think so, but that's that's some criticism you sometimes hear. But
it's parochial to.
So the Egyptians did a very important step. The Greek did maybe the most important step. Huh?
Yeah.
But, I mean, all cultures contributed to
you
the.
Know, That really touches on something that's very important to me. So, you know, when we look around, just within arm's reach, you feel literally the intellectual contributions of literally millions of people. We take it so for granted, but somebody had to come up with weaving string, for example.
Yes.
And we live on the basis of a cultural transmissions that go back tens of thousands of years, and obviously to say that one recognizing one thing diminishes the contribution of another. It's just crazy.
Yes.
It's just nuts.
Yes, but you have to know that that Aishango story, for instance, in Europe and Belgium, it's still for a lot of people difficult to accept.
Yeah, well, it's tied up with other.
And this
things.
Is why we have a dream, by the way. You know the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey.
You told me this dream. Now I have to tell our listeners the dream, and then I've got some questions about the dream.
maybe you can play that music also Sprach Zarathustra.
Yeah, we can put that
afterwards.
In, yeah.
Huh? Come on, it's nice music.
Okay, we'll go out on that one.
When you hear that, everyone starts dreaming, no? So in 2001, A Space Odyssey, Stanley Kubrick uses the image of the first discovery of man.
Yeah.
And what is it? It's a bone. And man is very pleased that thanks to that bone, he has food because they were just dying, they were hungry and so on. And now they could kill other animals and they had enough food. So he was so happy that he throws the bone into space and it changes into a spaceship. And this is actually what we want to do. We want to realize that. We have a new Belgian astronaut next year and he may carry a copy, of the Aishango bone into space. Of course, not the real one.
Well,
but we won't say it.
We
won't say it.
We
will say it's the original copy, we will say.
Okay.
They always do that in museums. In every museum, you see a copy and you think it's the original.
Right.
Anyway, that's a minor problem.
That sounds better. Send a copy into space.
Yes. So what's the idea? The idea is, normally, if you read in the newspapers, tonight there's a TV program about mathematics.
Uh-huh.
how many people will look? I think 1%.
Yeah.
Or if you say tonight there's a show, there's a discussion about Africa, how many people will look? 1%. Right. And how many of those two little groups will look? None.
Right.
Because those interested in math are not interested in Africa because there are no lines to be shown and so on. But on the contrary, if you see an African bone floating into space surrounded by astronauts, I imagine you will say, what the hell is this?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And now, they did other silly things in space. I know they even brought the skull of a dinosaur in space, but I don't want to play Jurassic Park in space. That's not the goal. The goal is a noble goal. Because the goal is to show that even Africans, who are so often forgotten in the space adventure, in the advancements of science all the way up to space, that they contributed to the space adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to make it even more poetic, I imagine that Africans will see at night, at the sky, their only television, the only TV they have, they will see the stars, and they will know that in one of the stars, the ISS, the International Space Station, they will know that in one of those stars is the Ishango bone.
That's beautiful.
Doesn't that make you dream?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there something in English that's available that our listeners can find?
Well, there is a poster made by an American, by Bill Hawkins.
Bill Hawkins?
Yes. And he's head of SUMA, and that's called Strengthening Underrepresented Minorities in Mathematical Achievements.
Oh, yeah, the poster you showed. Yeah, that's a very nice poster.
And there's some information on it.
Uh-huh.
Also on the web, you can find a lot of things. You just type in Ishango, and I think that's already enough.
Super. Well, thank you very much, Dirk.
Thank you.